Let's give him something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay.
Hey, do you notice your shirt in that? Go back to that, Jamie.
Whoa, somebody got a little editing on there. I love it. I also love that photo makes me look a little thicker than I am. I got like two C's going on in that. I'm not quite that fit for this season, but makes me look good.
That was 22. You're Jack then. And it's
right.
And it's black and white. Black and white always looks a little like, it always looks good.
It's a little gravitas to it.
Yeah, I pulled that off. I pulled that off the Instagram. So, what did you use AI to Photoshop?
No,
I didn't use AI to Photoshop. I'm not there yet. Actually, I wish I could. I've played around with AI a little bit for photography and stuff, and it's just I do not know how to give it good prompts. Mm-hmm. You know, but the amount of prompts that I would have to give in order to get to what the picture I wanted, I may as well just do the graphic editing myself.
Yeah.
So it's not there yet. Pretty soon,
something to be said about handcrafted, Craig. You know.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Genuine.
Anyway, welcome to our show, our little show, and then thank you for doing this. And my pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to talk to you about this because it's been the Diablo has been in and around the competitive world of CrossFit for almost since we got started.
Yeah.
We missed the first CrossFit game. Somehow we didn't get that email. We would have been there, though.
Dude, me too.
You weren't there either?
No, that's the only one I missed. And, honestly, I missed it because it was such a kind of non-thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this thing. It's going to be cool. And I was like, yeah, I had something else going on. I don't even know what it was.
That's right.
And I was like,
you were at CrossFit San Francisco then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't there. And then there's a few other affiliates in the area that weren't there, or maybe weren't around yet, like Rockland, because they're big competitors. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think TJ's was there at the event.
Probably not.
And here's what it allowed. Here's what happened as a result. CrossFit Oakland won the first affiliate cup.
You're still carrying that against Minium, dude. You got to let that go, Craig.
Never.
<Could've. laughs>
That was one who was based, and I think it was based solely on participation at the time. And it was bigger. I just went to, I just had lunch with one of the new owners because Minium sold it. Robin, who's there. She's an awesome, she's an OG.
She's been there forever, too.
Yes, she has. Maybe. And we were laughing about it. And I didn't realize because she helped run the 2009 CrossFit Games, which were down in Aromas. She was one of the key people that organized and everything else. She's got great stories, by the way. Anyone wants to have her on a podcast, she's one of those unknown OGs, and she's got good stories. She had me laughing, talking about how the beer that they brought down there, they had two kegs they brought down there. That was funny. They brought two kegs down there for everybody.
Seriously?
Yeah, and then they got absconded with. Castro's crew took them and they were gone. I goes, okay, we're gone. All the beer we brought for everybody, for the community.
Amazing.
But anyway,
people don't realize that there are so many people like that that have been around contributing members for so long, and they just don't care about it. Internet.
Oh, they don't want to be in the limelight or anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of a shame. It's not a shame. It's great that that people are still out there that they understand really what it takes to pull these things off and what it means to really contribute, and they do it for the love of the game. I think that's really awesome.
That is a great point, because since the beginning of this, and this is something that I want to shout out to affiliates for, is the affiliates and their affiliate members are the ones who literally were the infrastructure for the games for many years, and probably still are in terms of the volunteers that people take very seriously. The last games last year, I had several members that applied to be volunteers and were turned down because there were so many and they didn't make it.
Yeah. That's been true for years now, is that we often have way more people that have interest than we have positions available. And so it's one of those kind of double-edged swords where on the one hand, man, it's so cool that people are willing to throw their hat in the ring and do that kind of work and come out and, honestly, I mean, it's a tough run to be helping out with an event of that scale. It's not easy work. The other end of it is that, like, hey, you have to say no to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's
is it like a first come first serve for volunteers, or like get on that?
It's
list
a little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an element of timing. So like when you get your application in, mm-hmm. proximity, past experience, like all those things are kind of considered
different variables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of the people, well, even including you, right? Because you came out of, you were a coach at CrossFit San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then were brought into it to help on a lot of different levels, but ended up as, you know, head judge for many years, and now mm-hmm. still now director of the CrossFit Games, right?
Competition director. I mean, you know, assistant to the regional manager, I think is it. I think
office space title now.
Yeah, totally. But it is kind of interesting, and it's funny, you know, Pat and I have our little podcast, and we were thinking about we did an episode recently on kind of like how did we get into CrossFit and what was that origin story, and it was fun to go down that memory lane. And you know, I think a lot of people these days, I don't know, there's a lot of expectation about what it means to have a job within the CrossFit ecosystem. And for many of us, when we started, it's like, dude, getting paid for your work was an afterthought. It was like, this is the coolest thing. I want to be a part of it. I'm going to contribute regardless. And then the day shows up where somebody says, hey, we're going to pay you to do what you're doing. And you're like, what? Oh, that's even better. Awesome. Yeah. You know, and it kind of snowballs from there.
I think it's almost every position, with the exception maybe of the high-end media guys, but like all of the guys that did the build out, the planning for the events in the early days for all of the events, they were all people that they came out of affiliates. A lot of them were affiliate mm-hmm. owners, and they just showed up prowess in a particular area. You know, they were, I want to say they were wedding planners in earlier lives, but they knew how to organize and pull stuff together, lead people. It's really remarkable. And they all literally, like you said, were doing it for free for a lot of years and then started to get paid. But it's really cool. You think about any other type of event that's out there, all of the other type of big sporting events, this is organically homegrown. The whole thing.
And it's easy to forget. I mean, we're a lot more advanced these days, and we've definitely got some years under our belt with some experience, but you know, at the end of the day, it's we really did grow it out of nothing, literally. Yeah, it was cool to see.
Right. We built it together. Here's the other thing. So you think about Rogue too, right? So the equipment is, you know, Bill Henniger, who is a CrossFitter and then had a CrossFit affiliate and then just wanted to make better equipment than what he could find on the internet or anywhere else. And so he started it that way too. But we all built this together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Playing into the theme of opening together, but not intentional, but we all built this together with no like vision of, oh, here's what we're going to make it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have any long term.
There's no end goal.
In corporate America today, you know, when you start a company, you have this kind of, you have the big hairy goal out front of what you want to be and what the company's going to be and when you're going to take it public and all that shit. This wasn't that. This was,
Definitely.
What are we going to do this year? Yeah. And how are we going to do it?
Yeah. And how can we make it just a little better than it was last year?
Yeah.
You know, like that was really the ethos. It's interesting. Like, I've heard it said, I can't remember where I lifted this from, but you know, people talk about like art, and it's like, if you set out, like you're going to write a novel or you're going to paint a picture, paint a painting or whatever, and you have the message predetermined in your head about what you want the user to take away from it, it's like, it's really just propaganda at that point. You know, like there's some mystery in the creative process mm-hmm. when you get into something like that. And you, the generator of it, are often just kind of along for the ride if it's really pure. You know what I mean? And if you have that outcome just kind of fixed in your mind, it's like a lot of times it just kind of rings hollow because it's so rigid. And in the early days, we were definitely not that. So it is kind of interesting.
Well, and we can, you know, there's some criticism, and some of it's valid. And maybe all is valid regarding how many changes happen within the mm-hmm. CrossFit Games and the qualification process every year. And I think, you know, just a bit of an epiphany here, but I think a lot of it could be traced back to our origins, where it's us doing it together as a group in mass. You know, planning for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll say too, man, I think that those, now that we are a little bigger and, you know, things are more established, and I I think that criticism is valid, and I hope that we're at a place that things are a little bit more stable year over year. Because I get it. People have busy calendars as it is. Yeah. It's tough to plan. I mean, you know, especially if you're running an affiliate, you're coaching full time.
Yeah.
And you have to like have something come down the pipe at you out of nowhere and then try to adjust around that. That's really difficult to do. So I hear people when they say, hey, it would be nice to have just a little bit more expectation around what is coming down the road year over year. I think that's totally reasonable, yeah. Honestly.
It has become a very large force within our community and within our businesses, enough so that it can, you know, be a distraction. And so having advanced information is helpful, and having a clear path as to what to expect the following year is even better. But the other thing is that the level of competitiveness of the athletes is so remarkably high, even at the, now at the master's level as well. It requires a significant amount of planning, training, you know, all of the nutrition side of it, just everything. And so knowing ahead of time how you can get to where you want to be, especially if you're getting, you're relying on it for income, is helpful.
I mean, it's also helpful too in the fact that, you know, we're trying to continue to grow the sport and grow the community. And the more we can share the information with our members, the more they're educated enough to go into the season excited.
Scaling is hard.
Yeah.
Scaling is hard. Scaling up is hard. Scaling a business, any business, you get to a point where it becomes very, very difficult to scale. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got great plans for the beginning of businesses, and it's awesome when you start selling a ton of shoes, and then all of a sudden you got to sell, you know, 10 million shoes. You're like, uh-oh. We need all these different sizes. We need all these different colors. We got to change it every year. How do we do returns? Oh, man. Oh. Anyway, we got to go way off on a tangent. Sorry, dude.
More money, more problems, Craig. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about, the Open's coming. And how much time do you have, by the way, just so we know?
Oh, man. I mean, I got to, let me look at the calendar here.
Just want to make sure.
I got time for you guys.
Okay, good.
This is one of the more fun parts of my day today, so.
Thank you.
I will make the. Oh yeah, dude. I got at least another half hour. So
okay, good,
sweet.
Yeah.
Then let's go to the Open, and then we want to dig into the Community Cup, because mm-hmm. I want to spend most of my time there, because we've got some ideas regarding execution that I wanted to bounce off you.
Cool.
The Open starts February 27th. I was hoping we could take this opportunity to announce where that first location is going to be.
Oh man, I wish. We're not quite ready yet, but we're getting close. Yeah. Right, it'll be fun though. I think people will be stoked.
That's my soul. That's my soul.
Oh, that's an easy one.
Those are always fun. You guys are planning an open announcements.
We'll do the 3 weeks. There'll be an announcement every week. They're not going away.
Are you planning to bounce around within affiliates or?
Yep. They'll all be at affiliates. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
That's good. I imagine that's challenging too, because we have international, you know, affiliates, and Dave just in his week in review was talking about, you know, he traveled to, you know, Germany, and then he went over to Israel, and he said he was in these affiliates with, you know, 500-600 members, you know, like multiple affiliates with 500-600 members. And that's just, you know, for some affiliates here, that's like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's the enthusiasm and excitement over CrossFit in Europe and in other countries, international, is really cool to me. That's awesome. So those would obviously represent cool opportunities to do an open announcement. An affiliate has, you know, 600, 700 members.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. It's very cool to think about that global footprint. You know, I've been lucky enough to travel a lot with my career with CrossFit. And I've been lucky enough to be doing that for a long, long time now. And it never gets old to, you know, when we were doing the semifinal events in Berlin a couple years back, or Spain for the open announcement recently, you step into any affiliate anywhere in one of those cities, and they are just so excited about CrossFit. And it's like speaking the same language, even if you have nothing else in common. And it sounds trite and cliche or whatever, but man, it is still the coolest thing. To just step into this world, and you're like, oh, this is familiar. I know these people. These people know me. Do you know what I mean? It's so easy to just get into lockstep there.
We have members that travel internationally, and when they do, they usually will go on vacation and they go into affiliates.
Yep.
And they love like the just being able to speak the same language without speaking the same language.
Totally. Well, and hey, man, if you do travel, it's a great way to get the inside track on, hey, where should I go to eat? What's the best spot? What's a cool spot that nobody knows about? You know what I mean? Like the members at the affiliate, they will gladly open that world up to you. So if you travel at all, man, it's awesome.
Yeah. I talk to affiliate owners and they talk about the affiliate fee and why I should affiliate and, you know, is there value there? And I will say that being part of a global community is an incredibly valuable thing for my community, being part of a global community that has the same objectives at heart. If we, you know, you look at chronic disease and how it's affecting our country, but it's affecting the, you know, other nations as well.
Sure.
You need a global effort to help change that. And this is perhaps one of the best that is incredibly proactive toward making people healthier and reversing chronic disease. And you can be a part of it, you know, through affiliation and your members can carry some of that pride as well. It literally is that type of branding. It's hard to understand. Look, if this was Craig's gym, you know, I'd work hard to make it successful. That's in my nature. I'm stubborn and persistent and we make it high quality, but to recruit coaches and to retain members, having that tied to a global brand that has such a awesome standard for performance and an easy to understand methodology that is incredibly effective at reversing chronic disease is really, really valuable. And people don't understand how, you know, when we have members that leave, because I do, you know, I've got 450 some odd members. We have, you know, 10 members probably a month that and their memberships. If I'm up at the front desk and they say, hey, I got to leave, it's usually something like we're moving, job changed, you know, whatever I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, whatever you do, make sure you find a CrossFit gym where you go. They'll ask us, you know, hey, I'm moving to Fort Lauderdale. You know, a gym there in Fort Lauderdale I can go to. And then I'll do a Google search for them and I'll find someone that they can go talk to.
Yep.
It's really powerful. And then being able to do this competition where, you know, 300,000 people around the world are doing the same fucking thing you're doing.
Yeah.
It's really freaking cool just to know and understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting. We sat in, I had the good fortune actually sitting in at this affiliate roundtable in Nashville a couple weeks ago. You know, the CrossFit executive team was doing some meetings and they finished that round of meetings with one of these affiliate discussions. And one of the things that was brought up was, you know, okay, what differentiates CrossFit from Gym X that's really doing CrossFit by another name and this and that? And aren't we all in competition with each other, even if we're within the same city? And Nicole Carroll actually said something really powerful. No surprise there. The basic thrust of it was, hey, look, no, you guys should all work collectively to do the best job that you can to represent CrossFit as well as you can, so that it's just understood in the city that you're at. That like, oh yeah, you go to a CrossFit gym. It's a high quality facility. You're going to get the best coaching in town. It's the best value for your dollar for that membership. And then that rises the attitude towards it, which means more people in that city will seek out a CrossFit gym, and therefore everybody wins, you know? And it's kind of that weird mentality that's been around for a long time. It's like, well, what if somebody opens up down the street from me? And it's like, the attitude should be good because it's more people offering this high quality coaching, getting people that message in that city, hopefully turning more people into members overall. And I think about like, you know, most major metro areas. And to your point, Craig, like, what does it take to get a box successful? 300 members, 400 members? Like, you get that many members, most places are ecstatic.
Yeah.
You think about how repeatable is that in an area with 500,000 people or 1,000,000 people? I mean, we're talking a lot more than there are now. You know what I mean? Like, the potential there, if people have that understanding that CrossFit is where you go for high quality coaching and longevity and all these things, it just opens up a lot of doors. So, anyway, a little rambly way to say that I think, yes, being connected with that global aspect of it, being connected with the underpinnings of what a CrossFit affiliate should be and can be with its best expression, I think it does open up a lot of doors.
Yeah. The Open this year is the same as last in several previous years, 3 weeks.
Yep.
With the elimination of the quarterfinals, one of the questions I have to ask Dave, and I'll pitch it to you, but is there any thought towards the length of the workouts, or maybe the complexity of the workouts, or maybe two tiers in the workouts, A, B type stuff, in order to deliver a better representation of who should move to the next level?
You're talking about the 3 week open.
Yes. Within 3 weeks. Open.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me. Yeah. That's something we think about every year. You know, we always kind of wrestle around those different formats and whether or not we need the extra scores or not. That's definitely a constant source of debate when it comes time to actually putting the workouts to paper.
It affects this year, the ranking system that we're going to use for the Community Cup.
Yep.
And so I'm going to kind of correct myself. At the end of the day, the top athletes are going to make it to the CrossFit Games. We know the top 20 are going to be the top 20. Yeah. We could probably pick it with an error, you know, of like maybe 2-3%. But in the middle area, you know, we have, I want to say maybe some people that are better at the strength workouts and some people better at the longer workouts and, you know, the specialists that might be at both ends, or that, you know, some people have some, or maybe even just some athletes that are more well-rounded, but that full range of tests aren't there. Do you guys feel comfortable with the ranking system, and how, is there any way to explain how that ranking system works? Is it purely just upon you're going to pick a number? And that's the number, or you're going to pick a number of people that are in each category or a percentage in each category and then assign the number?
Yes, roughly. So yes, we're pretty comfortable with the tests. and I'll say that, you know, no test is infallible. I think that you could poke holes in just about any programming set and say coulda, shoulda, woulda. I think the question is like, is it appropriate enough for most people doing it most of the time? And I think the answer is yes to that. And then as far as how people are sorted, you can take a look at the rule book, and it's got the table there laid out of by open percentile where people will get grouped for the Community Cup. And it's roughly every 20%, roughly. But you can take a look at that table in there. It's all laid out. Coming out of the open based on your performance, you'll get grouped in one of these five tiers with people of similar ability, and that's who you'll be competing against in the Community Cup.
And
The one rep max snatch, you probably won't see that in the open. not to spoil too much, but it's unlikely.
Not in the open. No.
Thanks, Cody. Good question. I would like that for my age group. That'd be good. I got a decent one rep max snatch. Their number is going to be established, and we've had the numbering system in the past. By the way, headed into this, I just want everybody to let everybody know that I am a level 10 today.
Dude. Congrats, Craig. Yeah. That's achievement.
That's literally
I'm still working my way up.
It's literally just doing this since 2005, and then, you know, being in the older categories, you know, the pool was a lot smaller. But that said, so you're going to get a number, and then that number should allow you conceivably to compete against someone else with a higher number just by adjusting or scaling the workout appropriately, which is with any CrossFit workout. Yeah. But it gives us a guideline. So I could have a competition, say here at the gym, or an intergym competition, and we could use the rankings as a way to delineate our scoring, much like
absolutely 10,
for example.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So the level system is something we've had for a while. We haven't really done a lot with it. But it has existed, you know, people see it pop up on their games profile. But that's exactly right. Like, people can take that and run with it as much as they want. And I do think that there's a lot of utility there for people that do, you know, local throwdowns and things like that. It's a great way to, at a glance, kind of lump people in with others that are of similar ability. It's not going to be a perfect system, but it can get you in the ballpark. Because that is something that you hear about a lot at local competitions specifically, is like, oh man, you know, so-and-so entered into the scaled division and they just like cleaned up, and they really should have been in the RX division. you know, whatever. You hear about things like that, and it's like, okay, well, that's one way that if a competition organizer wanted to, they could take a look at that and sort people, you know, at least roughly.
Leverage that, Jamie, data. We, Adrian, we had our most popular competition.
I was just going
to
say
our most popular competition that we had, and people keep bugging us to bring it back. And I'm like, oh, I'm almost there. Just a little PTSD. I'm not a wedding planner, but it was a competition we called Average Joe's. And to
tell me more.
To participate in the Average Joe's competition, you could not have
placed higher than 200 in the region.
Yes.
In the NorCal region,
if you were 200 or above, you could not participate
in the
competition.
Yeah. Too good.
It worked out great.
It did, actually.
Yeah. First of all, you had to have done the open.
Yeah, and then if you had won it, you couldn't come back to that competition.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. If you ended up,
interesting.
If you won the competition, the Average Joe's competition, you couldn't come back the next year. You weren't allowed to compete again.
You're
no longer average. But it was a tremendously popular competition. It was one of our ones that sold out. And then repeatedly, people in my gym tell me all the time, you got to bring back Average Joe's. Average Joe's is awesome. And again, it's that they want to compete against people of the same caliber.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like about the ranking system.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so to kind of combine two ideas, you know, the first idea, you know, people like to push themselves appropriately. I think everybody who's done CrossFit for any period of time has seen that hook, right? You have somebody who comes in and they self-proclaim they're not competitive. They don't really care about that. Okay, give me 6 months. After you get a little bit more confidence, you learn some things. They've got their gym rivals like everybody else. You know what I mean? Like you see the change. You see the like, oh, dude, I'm gunning for this guy on that workout, whatever. Even if it's all in fun, it's nice to have that kind of drive. And it, you know, people can fall off the deep end with that and get a little too wrapped up in it. Sometimes you got to watch out for that. But in its healthiest expression, you know, I was saying this earlier, it's like it is one of the greatest things to keep people consistent, to give them something to shoot for, to push themselves a little bit further than where they've been in the past. Like healthy competition is an awesome outlet for that. And that's why you see throwdowns, you know, popping up all over the world on any given weekend.
Yeah.
For just the regular people. It's a powerful driver. And so if you think about the quarterfinals and people saying it's going away, it's like, well, for who? It's kind of not.
Yeah.
There is a semifinal for the best of the best. Those guys have that to try to qualify for.
That's right.
For the rest of us and for those guys, the Community Cup exists. There's still that top bracket for the very, very high level athletes in the Community Cup, but it extends all the way down now. And so if you're just wanting to compete against other people in your ability level, great, you'll get sorted appropriately. But if it drives you to try to make it into that next tier, that's available for you too. You can take a look at that breakdown and say, okay, I was 65, 66th percentile last season. Maybe I can push up into that 70th percentile and like try to bump into a different tier or whatever, whatever motivates you in that way. That's now available to everybody.
I apologize for not knowing this, but after the Community Cup is done, will you adjust levels again?
Not this season, but that's definitely something we're talking about, is like a couple things like, hey, maybe for those that missed the open, is there a way to get a level before the Community Cup? But, you know, unfortunately, I don't know that we'll be able to facilitate that this year, but that would be a great add. And then, yes, like, okay, what happens after the Community Cup? To your point, hey, if you win the Average Joe's competition, are you still an Average Joe, or should you maybe be bumped up a little bit? That's a great, great topic of conversation as we build on this in future years.
One of the most popular competitions in the Bay Area that was out there, well, there's two that were really popular. One was Masters that TJ's did, which was great every year.
NorCal Masters.
Yeah. I love doing that NorCal Masters. But the other one was Hercules CrossFit. Brian, rest in peace.
That Average Joe's.
Yeah,
the Rookie Rumble.
Rookie Rumbles. And our members loved it. It is many of our OG members' first competition was the Rookie Rumbles. Yeah. He ran them once every other month.
He had them pretty frequently.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And they were tremendously successful. And you'd go to these things. And we remember us having a booth there because that was when we sold equipment and shit. And we would go to those things, and the family members that were there and the friends who were packed to watch everyone's first competition. And it was just, it's everybody's at the same level. It's the first time they've ever competed.
Yeah. Just, you could see the fear in everybody's eyes.
It was super.
You know, it's funny. I think we get so hung up on the high end, and it's like, that outlet exists.
Yeah.
You know, like the big shiny path of the games, like that exists. It's not going anywhere. It's established. However, I think that there's increasing attention on the utility that healthy competition can provide as an outlet for the average person. And it's not about winning money. It's not about, like, you know, whatever. It's not about showing off to your friends. It's about having something to train for. It's about keeping yourself in the gym, keeping yourself accountable, setting a goal and following through. And, you know, that is hugely valuable when you start zooming out and thinking about the longevity of a member. You know, you guys have been in this long enough. You don't want a member that's there for 6 months and then they find something else to do. You want a lifer. You want to encourage, like, hey, okay, I'm going to shepherd you through this for the next decade plus, you know, that's the ideal. Okay. But at a certain point, people are going to just, you're going to have interest ebbing and flowing in the gym. You're going to need an outlet that keeps it sticky for you.
Yes.
A healthy outlet like competition can really offer that. And to me, that's like one of the more powerful things to start thinking about. It's like, okay, what does competition do in terms of retention for people? And we're starting to look at things like, hey, you know, those that do the open and have a big presence during the open, like, they typically have members that stick around a little bit more. Like, these are things that are starting to come out with some of the data that we're seeing. So it is interesting to look at that. And it has nothing to do with the top. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. But
I think of my members, I think of my members as I try to get every hook in them I can, because there's so many distractions in life to take them away. And there's a ton of competition out there for other things, not just fitness, but there's other things that will want to take them away from being in here and being a part of our community. So I look at these as hooks. One of them is doing the open and then doing Friday Night Lights. It's a pain in the ass for owners. And, you know, that's why
a lot of work.
I just love the 3 weeks, because it's like, oh, 3 weeks and it's done. You know, my wife and I are here till, you know, 10, 11 o'clock on those nights. And then if we do an intramural open, there's a scoring that takes place along. But it creates a bond with my community that keeps them coming in after that. It's just another, in it. And putting together community events, by and large, for affiliate owners, just in general, not competition, those are a pain in the ass in general. You come up with the event, then you try to promote it. The open makes it so easy to have a community event. First of all, the content's there. You can go online and get it in the affiliate toolbox, but it makes it easy. And then you talk to other affiliate owners, you can figure out how to do a intramural open,
throwdown.
Or throwdown, or you know, other competitions with other affiliate owners. So you got 3 weeks out of 52 where you've got a chance to get a hook in them. Now we got a community cup, which again, it's a, you know, it's three workouts in a week, and I'm already thinking about shit, you know. And Tim Dim will call me, oh man, there's going to be so much work. Why are they doing this to us?
I wish Tim was on.
I love the fact that we've got so much time though from the end of the open until the community cup. You know,
let me talk to you guys about how we're trying to make it easy and flexible for affiliate owners. The open, and I think what the open's become, it's a big blowout in a lot of ways, right? Like, people, like you're saying, you're there till 11 o'clock at night. It's a big thing, big production, 3 weeks in a row. That can be exhausting. Worth it, but exhausting.
Yep.
For the community cup, we're really trying to make it a flexible enough bucket that you can engage with it the way that you want to. So if that is your interest, you're like, dude, we're going to blow it out. We're going to do a Friday, you know, there's three workouts. So Friday, we're going to do one of them. And then we're going to do a Saturday morning session and a Saturday PM session, knock it out that way, or like a Sunday breakfast or whatever. And it's kind of an all in weekend. You can do that. If you simply just want to program three of those workouts during your week of classes, you could do it that way. And it's a little bit more low effort. Maybe you're not interested in any of those and you're like, you know what, I have some members that want to do this, but I don't really want to do this as an affiliate owner. Okay, fine. Just open up the gym for them on the weekend. They can handle it themselves. So the whole idea is flexibility, right? Three workouts in 7 days shouldn't be a huge burden for anybody to try to get that done if they're thinking about it. And affiliate owners can engage with it the way that they want to. If they want to have that big blowout, dude, it's available. They can do that. If they want to keep it a little bit more low key, that's certainly a possibility as well. And, you know, we're going to release, it's not like the open where you're going to find out and competition's already open and you're kind of having to think through setup as things are already like happening. We're going to release everything at least a week in advance. It'll have that's some awesome. Time there. So affiliate owners can think it through. They can see where it fits best for them and their plans.
Logistics and everything. That's exactly. Huge. Yep.
That is huge. We've been doing the NorCal Classic online qualifiers here. We've got 35 athletes that are participating this year. And again, it was one of those things like, okay, all right, so we're in on this. And but it's gone really well. Yeah. We've been doing the workouts on a Saturday and a Sunday after classes. We have a designated time, hour and a half. People come in and we get everybody set up, and we basically align everybody doing the same workouts, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Energy level. I had a couple members come up to me and tell me, members that came in and watched athletes do it.
Yeah.
Came in and said, This is really cool. The energy level. We're loving the energy level.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like a good practice and rehearsal for the open.
Yeah, it helps us get refilled, but also it helps us. This is how we can all the things that Adrian just described is how to execute as affiliate owner. We're doing like, and then when people want to do the floater workout, which was we're calling the floater workout, the deadlift box jump workout, that we're allowing people to do an open gym. We're just creating open gym time for them to do it. Yep. But it's gone over really well, and it has brought the energy level up really high in the gym. People are excited, and it's gotten people excited for the open. So these are things with advance notice, you can create a really cool
experience.
Yeah. In the middle of the summer when everybody is off doing shit with their families, vacations, everything else, here's a way to bring them back in and keep them connected to your gym, another hook in them.
And even the run-up, you know, like we were thinking about timing. Do we do it after the games? Do we do it before the games? When's the best time to put it on the schedule? And we started looking at the interval between open and where the community cup would be. And we're like, all right, we got to hit that sweet spot where there's enough time that athletes that are interested, they can commit and get some legit training in and actually see a difference between open and community cup. But it's not so long. On the other end of that, right? Like you don't want it to be in November because then it's too long. You can't keep the goal in your mind for that long. It's hard to do. Some people can, but most of us, it's like too many months. It just kind of becomes background. You don't have it at the forefront of your mind anymore. So that 3-month interval between the end of the open and the start of the community cup should be enough for people to say, okay, I see maybe where some weaknesses are during the open. I can commit to 3 months of coming in and seeing where I can shore that up. And then let's see what happens in the community cup.
I think that 3-month window is perfect, especially as it is like right before the games, because it also keeps everybody fresh and excited about the games.
We have a number of competition athletes that have said that they've transitioned away from the, you know, thinking about the quarterfinals they're going to focus on doing really well in the community cup. And then what's cool is what you guys have done with all of these external competitions, which create a pathway to the games, like the NorCal Classic now has a couple of, and then there's the Fittest in the West and the
Syndicate.
Yeah. And the Syndicate. Yep. It's created throughout the entire season from the open to the games. Something that they can pick. I have an athlete doing the Fittest in the East, and then I have someone doing, we have, you know, people that are trying for NorCal Classic. Mm-hmm. And now I've got athletes that, you know, have something to focus on throughout the season to keep them in their top competitive shape as athletes, but also keep the attention of the fans throughout the season.
Yeah.
What I love is with the quantity of stuff that is out there now, even in the rumors of a last chance qualifier and then the online semifinals, everyone is going to be talking about it all the way up into the games. There will be endless podcast conversations. You know, Wadapalooza is the big focus right now, but it's going to be just nonstop conversations, putting attention on the games. I actually really like that.
That's the hope. And I'll say, you know, like I think that there has to be some recognition on the CrossFit side that, like, look, man, there's an organic competition ecosystem out there.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously we have developed a games track and that's, you know, highly visible. But, man, there are some amazing events that have been running for years now. And they're high quality events. They attract really great athletes. They run well. You know, what can we do to invite them into that kind of games track and get them more visibility and involve them? You know what I mean? Like I think at a certain point you have to recognize that this ecosystem is just out there doing its thing, growing, and people really putting their best foot forward. So, you know, you can't do it all from the central place.
Our plan with respect to, I like the idea of using these levels, by the way, for an intergym competition. But one of the things that Jamie and I talked about doing here is running a series of competitions that lead up to the community cup where people can compete, you know, with their levels, within their levels. flash style announcements, flash mob style announcements. So within, you know, 2 weeks before we do the competition, we announce, hey, we're doing a competition. You know, bring your levels. It's going to be, you know, three workouts, get it done, get out, right? You know, like a half day deal, limited to 100 people. I want to do two or three of these before the community cup. Talk to a couple of athletes, are excited about it, like, that would be awesome. And basically announcing, you got to, it's first come, first serve in terms of signups. Do it quick. It might be here at the gym. It might be out at a,
could be outside.
Could be outside.
Oh, might I
be
love it. A hill run.
Or I something. Love it.
But the levels gives us the ability to deliver that effectively with scaling. Like, right. So like now I've got something that gives me kind of a template for scaling, and that's you're competing within your level.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love everything about that. I love the sporadic nature of it. I love the spontaneity. I think that's all so healthy. And again, talking about the utility of competition, talking about kind of the ethos of CrossFit, I think sometimes the nature of the high level competition is kind of actually pulled away from the idea that, hey, yeah, the whole point of training in this way, one of them anyway, is to be prepared for anything. And that should be something that you just, yeah, of course, I'll just throw my hat in the ring this weekend without prior knowledge.
Yeah.
And yep, I'm in. Let's do it. Like, that's such a cool thing. And what a cool thing for the members, even at the lower levels, that may not have been confronted with their own physicality in that way. They're like, yeah, I can do that. I can just jump in. I am trained enough to do this.
Yeah, that is something.
That's a really powerful thing. Yeah.
The assigning those levels, they know ahead of time that the event is going to plan for my level.
Yeah.
Right. Not just scaled.
They don't have to worry about, oh, I can't do that because I can't do X, right. Y, and Z.
No, we're going to plan for level four, level five.
Yeah.
Right. We know where you are. We know where your fitness is. That's super helpful in terms of organizing events like this, scaled events.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, you don't have to warm up if you never cool down, right? So it's the ethos of those flash competitions. Yeah. Let's go right now.
A couple of arm swings, a couple of air
squats, touches,
toe touches,
some leg swings.
Let's go.
Yep.
Cool. Well, the season, you know, I know there's discussion around it that people don't like the change. It sounds like this is a format that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. And I'm excited for it. I think it's a great, it's a great adaptation of where we were to where we're going. And make no mistake, the quarterfinals, they were fun. And fun from a perspective of the people trying to make the quarterfinals. And they carried it as kind of like they're really proud of it, right? And when it went 10 to 25, there's some complaints, but then it, you know, got more of our members. Executing the quarterfinals in this gym.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Especially at 25%.
Yeah. It was. So I'm looking forward to it. And it was, the thing about it is did all the work, all of the work, for a limited number of people. Now with Community Cup, what's cool is I'm going to do the same amount of work, but now everybody can participate.
And it's a little bit further back. It's not like we're going right from the open, bam, 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 right into it.
Yeah, thank goodness. Right? It was. It was exhausting getting going right back to back.
I think the Community Cup is definitely a huge hook just to kind of get more people to do the open, just so that way they have their ranking. Because, you know, one of the things that I always came across, like when we're talking about doing the open, who's signing up for the open at the whiteboard talk in the beginning of class. The amount of times I've heard, well, I don't need to hear, I'll do the workouts, but I'm not going to sign up. I don't need to hear what ranking in the world I am or whatever. It's like, now you're actually going to have an actual level that's going to matter for something else afterwards.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a huge, huge plus to get maybe people that wouldn't have signed up beforehand to do it this time around.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, let me, I got to run here pretty quick, but let me give a couple of details just for people that are interested. You know, so the open's going to run 3 weeks like it has for the last couple of years. No surprises there. If you want to do that Community Cup later on, or you think it would be good for your members to do, just make sure that you encourage them. Like you're saying, you got to sign up and do the open. You have to submit a score for all three workouts, a zero, or just, you know, not submitting a score won't do it. You got to put at least one rep in there. So get your scores in, and that'll get you your level, and that'll sort you for the Community Cup. So easiest way to say that is do the open if you're interested in the Community Cup, or if you think that it's valuable for your members, please encourage them to do the open, because that kind of unlocks everything else. Community Cup's going to run June 9th through 15th. It's three workouts inside that week. You can do them in any order, submit them at any time before that competition deadline on the 15th. So it should be a flexible enough format that people can engage with it, you know, as much or as little as they want and still get their scores in. We'll release everything about a week ahead of time to give people plenty of time to plan. We'll have lesson plans in there and cap support like we do for the open in the last couple of years. Same thing there. We're looking at some other cool things that we can integrate kind of after the open, but before the Community Cup too. So we'll have some resources that come down the pipe as things are moving through the season. So it should be a really cool thing for all of us. So it's new this year, you know, really trying to get the word out. I think, you know, it takes time for people to understand what we're trying to get with it. So I appreciate you guys coming on and letting me say my piece about it. And
thank you. And we'll do more. And we're going to, I'm also organizing a competition with Fort Vancouver and CrossFit Roots to compete on signups and to compete for the Community Cup.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it. Nicole Christensen comes hard. You better be ready.
Oh, dude, we figured that out last year.
Yeah. She's an insider. I think she uses her relationships at CrossFit. She's
like, dude, you're calling dirty pool?
Wow.
Just like the judicial system. Like, she's leveraging the judicial system at CrossFit to come down on me unfairly.
The allegations, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, listen, man, it's awesome to have you here. Oh, by the way, one more question.
Yeah.
You don't have to, for Community Cup workouts, they don't have to be video submissions as long as you have an official judge. And that judge has, does that judge have to take the advanced judging course?
No. So it's a
standard judge.
Excuse me. The oh, man.
Sorry.
Oz has on death's door here. No. So at the Community Cup, we're not trying to create like a big barrier to entry for judging requirements and review standards and things like that. We expect affiliates to hold the standard and that the judges at the affiliates are doing the right thing. you know, at the end of the day, it is an affiliate competition. Mm-hmm. So yeah, your judge with your regular seasonal judges course is good to go on that.
And the judges course is way better this year, I've heard. People already told me.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it is. It's easier to get through in terms of like you don't have to guess, and it's like it's pretty automatic.
Yeah. Well, and that's a kind of another thing that might be of interest too for people that have been in the game a while. And we do have the advanced judges course this year. If you take that advanced judges course, that will supersede needing to take the seasonal course for 3 years. Oh, so that's some feedback we've heard in the past.
That's a huge plus.
Done. Right. Which is like, hey, I don't want to have to take the judges course every year. I've been doing this for 15 years.
I know that. Come on, man. Well, those are ECUs.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the benefits. If you take that advanced course, you know, obviously I think it's a solid course.
Yeah.
The information in there is worth it on its own. But you also get that added benefit that now you're good for 3 years. You don't have to take the seasonal course. So that can be kind of nice too.
Awesome.
Right on.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. You promised one. You were going to give us one movement in the open.
How about one not? No one rep max snatch. I can confirm. No one rep max snatch.
You're right here.
You're right here first. Yeah, exactly. And on that note, gentlemen, I got to run. But thank you so much for the time. And hopefully I'll see you guys soon.
Thank you, sir.
Till next time.
Right. Take care, guys.
Bye. Yep.
That was awesome, dude. Thank you very much.
Sweet.
Cool.
It's going off.